so good to me. To the mountain, get out of the way and even vanish in the twinkling. Turn your midnight into day. Yes, what a mighty God we serve. Oh yeah. Hebrews, the first chapter. We want to read a few verses here to edify and to magnify our God. And by doing so, it will strengthen our faith. It will build us even more up in Christ Jesus, our only Savior, our only Deliverer that can help us. That can see us through. Yes, he can. I say he's our deliverer. He's the only one that can see us through. Oh, glory to God. Glory. Ah, yeah. Oh, yes. Friends are all right, but they can't see us through. Mother and father's all right, but they can't see us through. The doctor's all right, but they can't see us through. Only the Lord God himself in Christ, hallelujah, is able to see us through. Oh, yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, bless the name of the Lord. Oh, bless the name of the Lord. I think it's another witness in here. Amen. That can praise him right where you are. You don't have to lose the page that you are, but just give God a praise in this house. He's the only one that can help us. The only one that can see you through. Hey! Hey! Oh, yes, Lord. I said, see you through. Everybody else can go only so far. But God can go beyond the boundary of man. Are y'all hearing me here? With him, all things are possible. Are you hearing me here? Glory. Man's extremity is God's opportunity to do a work. Are y'all hearing me here? Oh, bless God. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Can you shout with the voice of praise? Can you shout with the voice of victory? You have a victory because you know the Lord who gives us the victory that makes all things work together. today. Bless you today. Bless you today. After reading the epistle of Hebrews down through the years, or summarizing what the purpose of the epistle was written for and to whom it was written, God had it recorded in the Word because this is His desire for us to continue in the faith. The Hebrews were the Jews that had accepted Jesus as Savior. So that means they had left Judaism. And when one would convert to Christianity and they've been in Judaism all their lives, their relatives would consider them as being dead. Some would even have funerals for them, and they would disown them. They wouldn't even acknowledge that they had known them in time past because of their fear of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and because they took great pride in their religious walk and the following of Moses, the great leader and the great founder of their nation, Abraham. So as they began to go back, convert back, the epistles was written to magnify Jesus and the work of God through Christ, and to make them to know that it couldn't be right in the eyes of God by the working of the law. For the law had been completed, final, it's annulled because of Jesus establishing the new covenant. And this was the fulfillment of the prophets. When you look at Hebrews, the first chapter, as you look, we see that the writer penned and said, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto us, unto the fathers, by the prophet, had in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he had appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made the worlds. Every time I see worlds in scripture, it does something, it excites me. Before the science of astronomy had discovered that there was worlds other than the world that we see today, the Word of God was mentioning worlds. So scientists confirming what the men had said, the world, and now they verify it's other planets, other solar system than ours. He said, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. The prophets were the people that Israel had seen and recognized them as being men and great service of God, that they had special messages from God, and they could tell them how to become more acceptable to God, and how to tell others how to live and to please God. And all of their concept concerning the men of God
and the people that God had spoke through them to, in diverse kinds of manners, the way they thought of them was correct. It was not erroneous. But when you compare them with Jesus, then they become insignificant, because they have completed the work of the prophets of the old covenant that spoke of the coming Messiah. It was completed at the death of Jesus, and when he was resurrected from the dead and ushered in the new covenant. Somebody said, praise the Lord. At verse 1, it said, Jesus now is the supreme sportsman, God's spokesman, the man of God. Verse 2 says, Jesus is the appointed heir of all things. Verse 2 also says, Jesus is the creator and maker of the world. Now look at verse 3, says, Jesus is the very glory of God himself. Verse 3 says, Jesus is the expressed image of God. You want to know how God is, if you want to know how God works, look at Jesus. And you will see the love and the mercy and the tenderness of God for mankind. Are you hearing me here? Verse 3 also says, Jesus is the sustainer of the universe. Also says in verse 3 that Jesus is the redeemer of mankind. And that Jesus is, in verse 3, the supreme mediator. So they could rely on Jesus. And you read further when you get time, you will discover they said Jesus, the writer here penned and said Jesus was greater than the angels, and they continue to magnify and to exalt Jesus. But now we want to go over here to the 6th chapter, and he says at the first verse, therefore leaving the principal doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead work and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptism, and of laying on of hands, and of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. This we will do if God permits. As you look at this, you would see he was encouraging them to know they coming this courage and falling away, that there were more in serving God and more about God than where they were just staying at. Probably they were arguing about baptism. Probably they were arguing about dead works, and probably they were arguing about laying on of hands. When Paul say, don't lay no hands on a man suddenly. And they're not grasping what Paul was referring to. They snatched the scripture out of context. So if you lay hands on anybody suddenly, you're going against the word of God. But what Paul was speaking to in the true context of the scripture, speaking about, considering the true context of the scripture, was don't lay hands on anyone suddenly to confirm them for office or in a position, but wait and let them prove themselves first. But there are times you have to lay hands on people to be delivered. Jesus did it. He did it instantly. He laid it on the blind man. Are y'all hearing me? Cleanse the lepers by just laying on hands instantly, so Paul wouldn't be talking against the work of Jesus. Sometimes you give people position and they haven't been tried, then they fall in the snares of Satan. They get puffed up and full of pride and you can't even deal with them. And you laid your hands on them. Oh, somebody give God a praise with a hand clap in this house. Amen. Praise God. Are y'all hearing me? So he said, now we got to go past. Amen. Amen. The laying on of hands and arguing about it and finding, talking about who's wrong and who's right and etc. Are y'all hearing me here? We got to know that there is a resurrection. You believed in the resurrection before Jesus came on earth. That's what they said to the Hebrews. Are you hearing me here? You all have spoke about it. Are y'all hearing me here? But Jesus came and confirmed it when he raised Lazarus from the dead. One that had been dead 4 days and four nights. And there wasn't no hope for him to ever live again on this side. Are y'all hearing me here? But the Lord said, take me to the grave side. And when he went there, he called Lazarus forth and said, come forth. Amen. You're dead. You're in an impossible position to live again. But I am the resurrection and the life. I said, come forth. Oh, glory to the living God. There is resurrection from the dead. So this you know, this has been proven to you. Woo, hallelujah to God. Can somebody give him another praise in this house? Give himself eternal judgment. Amen. We all got to stand before God. But we got to go a little further. You ought to know that by now. That's what he was saying to them. Don't get discouraged because your family has rejected you. Don't get discouraged because you've lost your reputation as a Jew. Don't be discouraged because they look at you indifferently now. Don't be discouraged. There's much more in store for you. Hallelujah. God has it. In Christ Jesus. Oh, somebody said praise him one more time with me here. Because I'm seeing something here. It hadn't changed. If you have a genuine encounter with God, folks will turn on you. If you have a genuine encounter with God in Christ Jesus, folks don't like you. Are y'all hearing me here? But thank God it was going on before we got here. That's why we ought to be able to take it now. That's why we ought to be able to give God thanks when they turn on you. Give God thanks when they ridicule you. You are blessed when it happened to you. Blessed are ye when men shall say all manner of evil against you falsely. Thank God. Hallelujah. Somebody said praise the Lord. It's falsely because what God had forgiven you of, he has forgotten it. And you're standing before him clean and righteous. Oh, somebody give God. Ow! Ow! Come on, give me a little sound here. That's plenty right now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's why Peter and John could rejoice when they had been beaten by the council. They rejoiced that they were found worthy to suffer for the Lord. Woo, somebody give them a praise in here. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Hey! It's what God says that makes the difference. God say, I've turned all that for your good. All things work together for your good. Because you've had a genuine encounter with Jesus. With God in Christ. Woo, hallelujah. Woo, hallelujah. Oh yes, Lord, bless you. Bless you. Let's go a little further. Oh, bless God. Amen. They had a genuine experience with God. If you look at the fourth verse of the sixth chapter of Hebrews, he says, now if you fall away, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and had tasted of the heavenly gift, and was made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted of the good word of God, and of the powers of the world to come, if they should fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh, and putting him to an open shame. Hallelujah. Amen. When you look at the context of what Paul was saying considering the letter, the people had fell away and began to go back under the law. They felt comfortable offering up sin offerings and turtle doves and burnt offerings and peace offering and doing works under the law. And he said, if you fall back and go back under the law, shall no flesh shall be justified, at least in the eyes of God, under the law. For the law was just a schoolmaster leading them to Christ. But God had a greater thing in store. Hallelujah. The better covenant with the better high priest and with the better sacrifice. So they were going back, walking away, look at it. And they were counting the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus being crucified for them. They were making it an open shame. They didn't believe that his death was sufficient, even though he rose on the third day. But they still had contradictory reports going on. They had said that the disciples came at night and stole the body. Are you hearing me here? But the truth is, the disciples was hid. They weren't about to be seen. Are y'all hearing me here? Oh, glory to God. Amen. But they felt good and keeping the law. Even though they said the law was not to be kept now, because of your faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. It's not by the works of the law that get you right in the eyes of God, but it's your faith in Christ Jesus. Do you know today that spirit is prevailing? It's hard for us to grasp that it wasn't by works of righteousness that caused us to be saved. Amen. We can't be saved on our own. All our good works is as filthy rags. Are y'all hearing me here? Our living the best we can outside of Christ is as filthy rags. It's not acceptable to God. The only way we would be acceptable to God is Jesus be our Savior. Oh, somebody said, praise the Lord. Amen. It's hard to receive it because, you know, I had to give up cigarettes to get saved. Amen. I had to give up drinking to get saved. I had to give up fornicating to get saved. I had to stop lying to show him I want to be saved. But God knew all about you before he sent Jesus. Before the world was created. God said, I have a righteousness. Amen. It is not your good works, but it's in Christ Jesus. Oh, I don't know if y'all can't hear me. Y'all can't hear me. I was under that with my chest stuck out. I thought that God saved me because I did thus and so. But it's not that. It's because of my faith in Jesus. Jesus Christ, our Savior. Then we produce good works that's acceptable to God in Christ Jesus. Oh, somebody give God a praise. That's all right. Amen. 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 Let's go enough. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Amen. And just as they were falling back, the church of Galatia fell back. Amen. They had got saved. And the Judaizers came and told them, you're not saved unless you're keeping the law. This man, Jesus, we don't know that much about him. But there's a false report. We know he was crucified, but he was not of the Pharisees. He was not of the Sadducees. He was not a part of the scribes. and he worked miracles by the power of Beelzebub. He is a man of disrespect. But if you want to get right with God, we've been keeping the law over 2,000 years. We've been bringing turtle doves to God over 2,000 years. If you want to be right with God, go get you a bullock. If you want God to save you, go get you a turtle dove and take it to the high priest. That's why Paul said you have fallen from grace. He told the church of Galatia, you have fallen from grace. If you want to be saved by your good works, your works are not good enough. Are you? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, glory. Oh, glory to God. That's all right. Glory to God. I want you to listen to me. I know it's hard to receive it because we've been walking and pointing our fingers and judging how others are saved because of what we've done to make God save us. We had to prove something to God. But the word said, while we were yet sinners, while we were yet sinners, while we were getting drunk, while we were on drugs, while we were fornicating, while we were in sexual sin, while we were doing the wrong thing, while we were magnifying the devil, God showed his love toward us, and Christ died, hallelujah, for our sins. Jesus died when God commended his love toward us. God, y'all give him a praise. Somebody say praise the Lord here with me. Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be made, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. This new dispensation of grace. So I told you the law was a schoolmaster leading the Jewish nation and opened the door for salvation, leading them to Christ. The doors are open, and you hearing me here. So therefore, sometimes we get it mixed up in our reading scriptures, but we don't read the entire context of scripture. We bring ourselves in bondage. It's because we're not considering what the entire word say. So long as we're abiding in the faith of God in Christ Jesus, we're in the heavenly places. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, somebody give him a praise in this house. Hallelujah. Because of Jesus. Are y'all hearing me? Are y'all hearing me here now? Are y'all hearing me here? Amen. 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 Woo. Hallelujah to God. Because of Jesus. Are you hearing me? Somebody said, praise the Lord. So we need to be like the prodigal son that went from his father's house. Those that need this, listen to me carefully. Because when you fall, Jesus gave us the illustration of the father being willing to help you and receive you in Christ. If you come to yourself, prodigal son came to himself and he went back to the father. He said, I'm going to tell the father I'm not worthy to be a son, but just let me be a servant. Because he had gotten out there and got broke. And when nobody loaned him no money, I'd give him any money. The prodigal son, are y'all hearing me here? He had gotten all of his inheritance from the father. Went out there and spent it in the world. And as soon as he got broke, the world didn't even have anything to give him. you ever see a Christian backslide and go out and get to running with the world, they paying for most of everything. Amen, amen. Amen, they just buying everything. Amen, amen. Amen. Anybody ever been lost, you know what I'm talking about. If you just back away a little, and just a little bit, but you're still straight away. Are y'all hearing me here? But all the activities in your pocketbook. And when you get broke, ain't nobody got nothing. Isn't it funny? Nobody can answer their phone until it's your payday. They don't even answer the phone until you get paid. You can't even reach them until you get paid. There you go. Ever paying any attention to that? Well, you need to stay with the Lord. Are y'all hearing me in this house today? Bless you, Lord. The Father received the Son. As the Son was coming back, the Father happened to go to the door. And he saw his son afar off, and he ran and met him and greeted him. Like James said, purify your hands, wash yourselves. He's talking to the Jews that have strayed from God. Resist the devil. Draw nigh to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Jesus showed us how God loves us. Even though we messed up. And when he told Peter, I prayed for you, that your faith failed not. But Satan want to sift you this week. Peter went all the way back out there. He went so far, as we said the other night, I hope y'all looked it up in the scripture. But Peter went fishing, and he was naked out there fishing. He went just that far back. First he started out cursing and denying that he knew the Lord. But Jesus had prayed for him. That his faith failed not. Are y'all hearing me here? And after he was out there fishing, and he said, here come Jesus, Peter had to run and hide and get himself together. Because he went all the way back out there. Are y'all understanding what I'm saying? But whichever way you're going, whichever way you're falling short, God is willing to forgive you. In the name of Jesus and by Christ our Savior, who is the propitiation for our sins. Are y'all hearing me? Now the brother that never did go anywhere, he didn't have courage enough to run out in the streets. He just stayed around the house. But when the brother that wanted it, the father said was dead, now he's alive. He was lost, but now he's found. The one that didn't have the courage to do it got mad. I've been here all the time. I ain't never went nowhere. I ain't never fallen. You ain't never fixed no fatted calf for me. You ain't never had no party for me, because he was there, but he was afraid to go out. Are y'all understanding me? Okay. Are y'all here? Not saying go out, but the religious have a way of rejecting one that come back to Jesus. That's what it's teaching. Are y'all hearing me here? Hallelujah to God. Oh, I praise the Lord right now, and I thank him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Oh, yes, beloved, God bless you today. We're meeting again by the way of radio, and we thank God for this opportunity of visiting each other in these troublesome days, in these last days that we are living in. And know for certainty, whoever you are, or whatever has happened in your life, God is willing to forgive you. But Jesus said, all manner of sin shall be forgiven. And when Jesus was hanging on the cross, he was made sin for you. The scripture says, he that knew no sin was made sin. So it didn't say he committed sin, but he was made sin. He died for whatever sin that you have committed, whether it's just outright rebellion against God in an unsaved state, or falling in God as a result of backsliding, being overthrown by the enticement of Satan. God is still willing to save you. And I want you to know that He is your only friend that could stick with you and will stick with you unto the end. So serve Him. Serve Him. Not ourselves. Not one another. Not materialism. But let's serve God, the creator of the universe, in abstaining and sustaining at least all things by the power of His word, or by the word of His power. Oh, I tell you, being nice, doing great things, is all fine if you're saved. But if you're not saved, all of your good works, all of your righteous work, all of your upstanding, you can even look good in the eyes of the community. But if you're not saved, all your righteousness is as filthy rags outside of Christ. That's why God sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. We had no way of getting right before God on our own, for sin had alienated us, and sin had caused the death penalty to be pronounced upon all our lives. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So we want you to know for certainty, God is willing to save you. God is willing to forgive you. If you started out and fallen, there's no sign that you never were saved, not necessarily. If you have started out, if you have fallen, God will bring you back into restoration. Oh, such a beautiful illustration, as we said, concerning Peter backsliding. And Jesus had said, I prayed for you, that your faith faileth not. And I believe in that. He's revealing to all of us that have given His life, that have given our lives over to Him. If you fall, Satan didn't just sneak up on you, but it was by your choice. But you made that decision. You made that decision to do wrong. But yet He's prayed for you that your faith faileth not. So don't remain in condemnation. Jesus is our intercessor that's at the right hand of God, making intercession, speaking on your behalf. He's your advocator. He's your father. Are you hearing me here? John declared to the believers, I write you that you sin not, but that if you sin, you have an advocate with the Father, which is Jesus Christ the righteous. He's willing to help you. Oh, He's willing to speak on your behalf. Even the Holy Spirit making intercession for us, because He knows the will of God for our lives. And He will help you, and He will strengthen you. Remember, okay, how saved you are and how much faith you have in Christ, God always leaves you with the ability to make a decision. He always leaves you with the ability to make a decision. Yes, He does. But He's willing to help you. He's willing to forgive you. Regardless if you've been erroneous with your decision, God has not turned His back on you. He loved you while you were yet sinning. He showed His love by Christ dying for us. He commended His love toward us while we were yet sinners. He paid the price for our salvation. Jesus did. And when man fell, it was not the afterthought of God, thought of God to send Jesus. But First Peter makes us to know that before the foundation of the world, Jesus Christ died for our sins. And God manifested here on earth over 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem, over there on Golgotha's hill, near His holy chosen city, Jerusalem. Amen. So that we might have faith in God when He raised Jesus Christ from the dead for our justification. So don't be condemned. Come back to the Lord. Don't remain in darkness. Jesus is the light. And if you have not accepted him, today is the day. This is a time for you to believe the gospel report. The good news is that God sent his son to die for our sins, and he raised him from the dead for our justification. Oh, we had a great time in that service, and the altar call was made, and we praised God for the joy of the Lord that was manifested in that service. I'm reminded of Zephaniah, the 3rd chapter, and the 17th verse. He says, "The Lord thy God is in the midst of thee, is mighty. He will save, he will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love, he will joy over thee with singing." And I let him know God had spoken to me in that service. I sensed it. I discerned it by the Spirit of God, that God was ready to sing. And those that was there in health and condemnation, shameless because of the reproaches that you brought upon the Lord, God wants to sing by restoring you upon your decision. All of you that's listening to my voice, wherever you are, if you're a child of God that have fallen, just like the prodigal son, Jesus showed us God is willing to help you. As the son started back home after coming to himself, the father looked and saw him, and he ran to meet his son. So I want you to know and brought about restoration. The son had said, "I messed up, Father. I'm not worthy at least to be called a son, but just let me be a servant." But he received him back into sonship. Yes, he did, and he forgave him. It's because God forgives and he forgets. There's the element that worked the opposite of God, and that's under the control of Satan. He does the opposite. God forgets, but Satan remembers, so he could bring about railing accusations against you to God. Are you hearing me here? But thank God for the Son of God being the intercessor for our sins. He prays for you. He prays on your behalf. Thank God for the Holy Ghost will make intercession for you. He prays for you because he knows what God has willed for your life. So come on back to God. Come on back to God. And to those that are unchurched, we're looking for you to come and worship with us at 2621 Ralston Road. Now the doors are for everybody, but it's the unchurched that we want you to know you are welcome. You don't have to be a member of a church to attend our church. I remember some 38 years ago, a little longer, when you went to church, you had to have somebody in that church to represent your coming in there. And you had to look and dress a certain way. But I want you to know, however you are, come on, come on, come on to the Lord. For the woman at the well met Jesus while she was still in her idolatrous state, and she was living in adultery, and she met him right there at the well, and God changed her life. So you can get a change right where you are. And come on in the church and grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, God bless you. Let's listen to some singing and let's praise and magnify the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is everything that we need, and he has everything that we can ever think of that we need. And he can go beyond that which we could ask or even think. Oh, God bless you today. Oh, God, let him do that for you. Let him magnify you. Let him save you. Let him justify you. Let him cleanse you. Oh, bless the wonderful name of Jesus. He's my rock. He's my fortress. He's my deliverer. And in him will I trust. Let's listen and sing with the choir and enjoy this music of God. Oh, Lordy, I just want God to sing today. For those of you that's hearing the broadcast, let's cause God to sing. Zephaniah 3:17. He's mighty. He's in the midst of thee. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. Let heaven sing. Let God sing. Let the universe sing. No wonder David could say, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Jesus is our only way to get right and to remain right in God. Hallelujah. Bless you.